This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Mackinac Center analyst Michael Lefebvre explains why he thinks Michigan won by losing out to Wisconsin in an effort to lure a new Foxconn plant to the state, and why Michigan economic development officials shouldn't offer any special incentives on another Foxconn project. But first, it will soon be time to go back to school. Some kids may be nervous if they're going to a different school than they did last year, or just by the prospect of moving up a grade. In the latest issue of FYI magazine, writer Ann Lape tells us that butterflies are normal, but she also introduces us to some children and their families who have suffered from anxiety that made school and learning more difficult. We learn how parents can help children cope and how anxiety in children can be treated. Ann Lape is also a teacher, and she joins us to discuss her story for FYI, Anxiety and Kids. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What made you want to write this story?
It started with a very personal experience. We have a 16-year-old son who has struggled, and the more I talked to other parents, I found that we were not alone. And in helping our son, I wanted to talk with other parents and let other parents know that they weren't alone either.
As you tell us in the story, or as the editors tell us in the story, the names here have been changed of the children and their parents. Even with that, was it difficult to get families to talk about this?
Letting them know that their children wouldn't be specifically identified, it was very easy to talk because dealing with any mental health issue is very isolating. So once people felt free to talk, it was easy to have the conversations.
How did the families that you talked to go from figuring out that something was not quite right to discovering that, yes, there was anxiety that their child was feeling?
When you have a child whose anxiety has gone outside the normal realm of it's back to school, it's a fear of the dark, the normal anxieties that we see kids experience and that we expect, and it's become something that starts to take over their lives, it really does start to take over your life. And you notice it in their day-to-day functioning. Teachers start to notice it in school. You start to notice health effects as well. So as these things start to happen, you know that you have to start taking action to help your child function in their day-to-day lives.
Is there some good data out there that tells us how widespread the problem of child anxiety is?
Yes, there is. The National Institutes of Health, and I looked at the Child Mind Institute, gives us some very real statistics that as many as 1 in 5 children by the time they hit high school will have dealt with at least one severe bout of anxiety before they hit age 18, and that as many as 1 to 3 absences in high school can be related back to anxiety. Either they're just too overwhelmed to go, or there's some physical symptom manifesting itself because of anxiety.
We know that anxiety can make it difficult for people to interact. It can certainly get in the way of someone doing their job. What does it mean for a student in school if anxiety is at the point we're talking about here?
This is where it can get really difficult, and it can get difficult for teachers to recognize because it can look a little bit different for girls and for boys. In girls, we sometimes see that they'll want to push themselves to perfection, and we sometimes reward girls for that. And so parents might see the effects more at home because girls are turning in great work. They're working really hard. One of the girls in the story, it manifested itself in that she wasn't getting all her work done, though, because she was trying to do everything so perfectly, it was slowing her down. Boys, it can manifest itself in they want to be so perfect and they can already see themselves failing that they just won't do anything at all. So they get labeled as lazy. They'll get labeled as ADD. And often we'll miss their anxiety entirely, and they can get mad, and we'll see it in angry outbursts, and we will treat them for something else entirely.
So if there is a family out there that perhaps has read this story, or maybe they're listening to this interview and they say, well, there are times that I kind of wonder, what is the line where normal sort of butterflies, nervousness that all of us, experience at some point in our lives, where is that line crossed into full-blown anxiety?
Well, if we start with just this school year that we have coming up and your child is transitioning to a new school or a new teacher and they're anxious and you've done all the things that you would normally do, meeting the new teacher, talking about new routines, and we get a month into the school year and they're still staying up late. You're seeing things like stomach aches. You're seeing things like sleep disturbances, changes in attitude, changes in appetite. You're not seeing the kid that you know. Then it's time to start talk to your child's teacher. What are they seeing in school? And if things just aren't fitting together, it's a good time to start with your child's pediatrician. Just a good checkup, make sure that there's nothing physically wrong, and then have a conversation about what you might do to help.
Is anxiety something that can merely be coped with? In other words, some sort of mental exercises that a child can do that might, change their focus or in some way help them get through the day? Can it be as simple as that, I guess, is my question.
It absolutely is. Cognitive behavior therapy is what a therapist would call it, and giving your child coping mechanisms is definitely the place to start. If you think about yourself as an adult, what you do when you're anxious, if it's taking a walk to take a break, the proliferation of adult coloring books that's out there that have helped adults relax, giving your child some space to relax before you start homework, letting them listen to some music that relaxes them. And speaking from my son's point of view, the music that relaxes him is definitely not the music that relaxes me. But right. And checking in with your child, what helps you blow off some steam? And one of the things that I've learned as a parent is his video games are a way that he copes with his anxiety and it helps him. So, maybe giving a little bit of screen time, putting some parameters around it, and then it lets him relax his mind for a little bit and then start the homework. So putting in some periods of relaxation before you get back into that homework routine of your evening.
Is it important that this is sort of a multifaceted approach? In other words, you mentioned the pediatrician. You should talk to the teacher. Of course, if you are in middle school or high school, then there's many teachers to talk to. So is this something that has to be collaborative where, all of the parties involved need to talk to each other and understand where to get on the same page?
Absolutely. And maybe if your child is in middle school and high school, a good place to start might be if there's a teacher that your child has particularly good rapport with, a teacher that seems to really get your child, or a favorite teacher that your child trusts. With my son, I've asked, hey, is it okay if I email this teacher and check in? And sometimes that teacher has served as a clearinghouse to communicate with the other teachers. Hey, this is what's going on with this kid, and letting the other teachers on that child's team know. School counselors are always a great place to start. And so having a starting place, I think, is a good idea.
You're a teacher.
Yes.
How long have you been a teacher?
This is my 23rd year.
Wow. Would you say that this is something that 23 years ago, people didn't talk about much?
I would definitely say so. I think becoming more aware of it is helpful. And we still don't talk about it much. I think we're starting to talk about it more. But I think that the idea that kids could have anxiety is something that is still new to people.
Does it go beyond the point of being able to do exercises with some kids? And do you need to then look at more advanced treatment?
Yes. And the one thing that I would say to parents is that you are absolutely the best parent for your child. I think any parent who is a new parent learns that there is no shortage of people who want to give you advice. And you are the person who knows your child best. And so trusting your gut is absolutely the way to go. And you are also your child's best advocate. So I recommend starting with your pediatrician. If you think that this is a problem that's really affecting your child's life and you've talked to the teachers, starting with a pediatrician who is a great clearinghouse for recommending therapists, recommending if you do need to go the medication route. And people are very reluctant to give children and teenagers medication. So they'll try a lot of things first. And this isn't, if you feel like this is a big problem for your child, you don't have to worry that this is a lifelong sentence. But you may need a stopgap measure to help what we call break the cycle and let your child just breathe for a little while. And there's lots of temporary solutions to help your child get back on track, learn some strategies, and then pick up their regular routine and get going again.
Did the families that you talked to for the story in FYI feel that they had bridged the gap, that they were at a better place now with their kids than they were when maybe they first found that they had a condition of anxiety?
Yes. Yes. All of them had tried different strategies, and each family felt like the strategy that they had tried for their child was the right one. All were a year out, at least, from diagnosing this as a problem, and all felt like they were in a much better spot than when they had started.
So is it then a cautionary tale in some ways that you need to look out for this, but also maybe the good news is that this is something that can be dealt with in generally a pretty short time frame. We're talking here a year or so, and usually with some sort of fairly non-invasive type treatment?
Absolutely. The family that is introduced at the beginning of the article, it's a six-year-old little girl, and some of the strategies that they had for her, she tended to wring her hands a lot, and it was to the point that her hands were almost raw. So they got her some lotion with glitter on it, and so she could be more fascinated by watching the glitter, and she wasn't. And it was a very temporary thing because once the lotion was all rubbed in, she could stop. And it gave her something productive to do. She has literally a physical bag of tricks that hangs on her bedroom door that when she's feeling anxious, she can go get. She can pick out a book, a coloring activity, something to do. And a year on, she talks about her therapist as her friend and what would Miss Kelly tell me to do. So she has a vocabulary that she didn't have a year ago and is doing much better.
And that brings us to something else we should talk about here that I think we might associate anxiety with adolescence and the changes that come with teenagers. But what you're telling us in this story is that anxiety can happen at a pretty young age.
Absolutely. For this particular little girl, it started showing up at five. And so the important thing as a parent is to listen to your child and not to minimize. And I think that as parents, we don't mean to minimize, but we so much want to make everything okay. And so when we tell our children, don't worry, everything's going to be fine, to the anxious brain, their brain is saying, no, everything is not okay. And the signal that we're inadvertently giving our kids is, I shouldn't talk about it. If you just give your children a chance to talk to you and you give your child a listening ear, that goes a lot farther than telling them not to worry.
Ann Lape's story, Anxiety in Kids, can be found at fyiswmichigan.com. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Ann is a teacher and writer. There's also a link to her story at wmuk.org.